This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Welcome to Wednesday at 9 p.m. Season 1, Episode 12. On tonight's episode, we investigate the haunting history of Rolling Hills Asylum, battle Victorian-era inflation, and see why Rolling Hills may be haunted by more than just ghosts.
Wow. What a hook, Nick, for something thrown together so so close to the start of the episode.
No, I had this ready a week ago.
True. I know a little bit of inside stuff about this story. I don't think Aaron does. I've seen a little bit behind the veil.
I have not looked into it. All I know is there's some evidence of Nick's favorite variety in this episode.
Oh, yes. I think this is going to be a fun one to edit. We're going to have a lot of... I don't want to give anything away. We'll say samples. So before we get into Nick's story, I just want to give a few announcements and really just shout outs. Any shout outs from you guys?
Yeah, there's a shout out from Nick to Troy.
That's great to hear. Always great to hear that.
Yep.
And of course, I just want to take a moment to shout out our number one super fan. Been with us from the very start, leaving comments on our Spotify. Shout out to David Hoy. Wherever you are, whoever you are, thank you. Keep listening. And without further ado, Nick, take it away.
All right. Like I said, we are going to be talking about Rolling Hills Asylum. So this is located in East Bethany, New York, in the Notion. If you scroll all the way down, there is a picture of it, and you can zoom out, and
a beautiful map
embedded. But be careful because some things are there that you can't look at right now.
Got it.
But we'll put it in the show notes and you can see just how far west it is in New York. It's very, very far out west.
Almost to Buffalo.
Yeah, almost to Buffalo. It's right, kind of like right between Buffalo and Rochester. But as always, and especially with locations, we got to do a little bit of history before we get into any of the spooky happenings.
Your favorite?
Yes. Actually, this was actually moderately interesting.
Okay.
So before it was called Rolling Hills Asylum, it was called the Genesee County Poor Farm. So, obviously, the county it resides in is Genesee County, way out west. And what a poor farm was back in the day, we're talking like close to 200 years ago.
As opposed to a poor farm right now.
I don't know if they exist now.
Well, what is a poor farm?
Well, that's what I was going to get into. They're just places where able-bodied residents are required to work on the farm, and they were housed on the property, and it could be orphans, destitute families, the mentally unstable, the handicapped, the elderly, and even sometimes criminals.
And so instead of locking them up, putting them to work.
Yes. And the poor farm, poor houses, kind of the same idea, typically run by the government, but it was usually like the county or a municipality. Hence, Genesee County Poor Farm, because it was run by Genesee County. And these were pretty widespread in America up until the 1930s, when what got put into law or action, I guess, in the 30s.
Great Depression.
Okay, what happened after that?
Yeah, it got put into law, the Great Depression.
Social Security.
Oh.
So after Social Security became a thing, there weren't really too many poorhouses anymore. So
interesting.
The Genesee County Poorhouse, or Poor Farm, was originally discussed by the Board of Supervisors in Genesee County all the way back on December 4th of 1826. So it is almost 200 years old since at least the discussion of this. And the poorhouse was officially announced in the Batavia Times newspaper just a few days later on December 9th. And then finally, in 1828, Genesee County constructed a confinement area that was attached to the poorhouse that they built, and that's where they put all the lunatics and the paupers who did misconduct.
So, did they put all these people together in the same place?
Yes. Like
the orphans with the criminals?
With the poor?
Yeah, so
with the handicapped, with the elderly.
Yeah. And this is back in the late 1820s, you know, right? It was announced that it was going to happen in the end of 1826. Then it got built. And then in 1828, they added a confinement area specifically people who conducted misconduct. Not great behavior.
Or orphans.
But finally, in 1887, the board agreed to send, quote, persons suffering with acute insanity elsewhere in New York State. So up until then, so almost just about 60 years, insane people, and again, insane back then, they might not have actually been insane, but insane people were housed at the poorhouse, along with orphans and the mentally unstable, the families, handicapped, all these different kinds of people were there.
You know, Nick, that I wonder if there's a connection there, because you say, so 1887, they agreed to stop sending the insane there. That reminds me, because it's the same, roughly the same time period as my Hexameister's hug story. Insane asylum shows up at the very end as where one of the sons that committed the murder, if I remember correctly, eventually went. So I wonder if that is one of the places that the insane were sent after they were no longer housed in the poorhouse.
Yeah.
So there probably weren't too many big New York insane asylums in the 1800s.
Yeah, it didn't, you know? It didn't say, because I was looking at a lot of different websites for some of this information, and nothing that I found said like where exactly they went.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were there for almost, for basically 60 years, because they got built in 1827.
Got it. Yeah, I wonder, it's probably a connection there.
And there's a picture, I don't know the age of the picture in the Notion, but there is a picture that we'll put in the show notes of what the asylum or the poorhouse, whatever you want to call it, what it looks like, probably more recently than way back. But anyway, the poor farm itself was self-sufficient, and it spanned over 200 acres. They provided their own food and fuel, and that led to the cost of taking care of a resident in 1871 to be about $1.08 per week per resident. So I did,
Nick, I'm sure,
I did some investigating to see what that meant.
Oh, fantastic.
So, however, I think it might be wrong by a lot. On two different websites, I got that $1.08 back in 1871 is apparently only $27.06, according to one website that is linked. And then another site said it was $27.88. Now, I know what you might be thinking, Nick, why didn't you just use like the available government websites to do this? The furthest they go back is only 1913.
Interesting.
Not 1871. There is one more site that I tried to look at from the New Zealand government, but you had to put it in pounds and it would give you dollars. So I would have needed to do $1.08 in 1871, but in pounds, and then put that in and then get the current dollar amount. So I was like, okay.
So it's fair to say around $27.
Allegedly, but without, I don't know the validity of those websites, but without actually being able to use like the historic data that the federal government has on a multitude of websites, we're going to go with $27.06 to $27.88. Although I don't know if that's quite right.
Why?
And so that would be, sorry, go ahead.
Why?
Why don't you think that's right?
Well, from 150 years, I feel like it is a pretty, like, I guess percentage change-wise, I guess it is a pretty big percentage change. But I don't know, just something about a dollar back then being $20 now, or $27 now, 150 years ago, I feel like it should be more. is what I'm saying.
Mm.
Interesting. What's the percent change on that? Is that
20?
Because it's actually pretty close, right? Because it's just, if you assume it's like 1 to 27.
Give me one sec. Right?
Or 1 to 28.
Give me one sec.
Wait, wouldn't it just be like
2,405.5 repeating percent?
2,400% inflation.
But
I see 9%.
There was a lot of things that happened in between the like the late 1800s, all of the 20th century, and then now.
Yeah, a few major things. But now, because $27, $28.
Well, go ahead. The only reason I say that is because when I did do the New Zealand one, we're going off on a tangent, but we, like I said, that's we're okay. Battling Victorian era inflation.
Yes, it's you did mention.
When I put in $1.08, but it put it in pounds. When I did £1.08, I guess. It gave me like $400-something, and that was from the New Zealand like government website. So I was like,
so do you think, huh, conversion the fact that there's no rate data
might have been different back then?
That's what I mean. So like, I don't know.
Or is it just that there's no data before 1913, so it just ignores all inflation between?
Yeah, because if some websites have 1871, but like the federal government only goes to 1913, I question the validity of going back even like this. Now we're going like 40 years past that. Or before
it's probably no more than $50. Let's leave it at that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So given that, that would be per week.
Yeah, per
week. Which is pretty good. That's pretty inexpensive.
Per $200 a month. I'm only paying 10 times as much to live in my apartment.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So pretty interesting though, but take that with a grain of salt. And so, funny enough, the residents there, all of them were called inmates.
Even the orphans. Prisons.
Yep, everyone was called inmates. And like I said, the able-bodied had to work on the farm. And they actually built and made a lot of what was sold. So they could kind of help offset the cost of living. Because they would work, they would grow vegetables and fruits, they would raise livestock, and whatever they sold, it would even further reduce their cost of living.
Got it.
There was also a bakery and a wood shop that made coffins.
That's eerie.
Well, speaking of coffins, if you had no family, the county essentially buried you. So if you were just maybe a criminal or some insane person and your family just left you here, you were just buried by the county.
Presumably once you died, you're saying.
Yeah, sorry. No one got buried alive, as far as I know.
Gotcha.
There was supposedly a cemetery, according to property records, but there are no details anywhere. And according to an 1886 proceeding, it states, quote, "The burying ground we have improved by building a fence in front and grading and leveling the ground as much as could be done without injury to the graves." But no cemetery register or plot map has ever been found in relation to the property that Rolling Hills Weird. Lies on.
What do you make of that?
I don't know. The fact that there's like an article talking about them improving the cemetery or the burying ground, but then there's no register or plot map. Maybe it just got lost somewhere. It does. I couldn't find.
How do you lose a cemetery?
Well, some people have said that because, again, this is really old. This is almost 200 years old. Just overgrowth in the forest kind of took it back.
Man, so somewhere on this property, there's just like a forgotten cemetery?
Perhaps. That's a theory that I've that I saw floating around when I was looking into this. But also from like all the websites I looked at, it doesn't say there was like any fire that happened that I could, that like anyone said. So it's not like the place burned down and they rebuilt it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What a setup.
Well, there's still a little more. On June 6th, 2004, five headstones were returned to the county that were dated from 1887 to 1888. And a memorial site was created. I don't know if it's on like the actual property, but the historians of Genesee County dedicated one of those historical markers honoring everyone who died at the poorhouse from when it opened in 1827 until it closed in 1974. I will also say that I don't know when, but Rolling Hills was like a senior living home for a time. That's probably why it went all the way to 1974. It wasn't a poor house the whole time.
Okay, I was just a little confused there.
It got repurposed to certain things. And one of them I know was like a retirement home almost. And
wow.
What may put more credence to the whole idea of, oh, this unforgotten cemetery, or unforgotten, this forgotten cemetery. There are supposedly over 1,700 documented deaths, but it's likely that there are many more undocumented. So maybe some of these people died and didn't get the proper rights, and now they're forgotten, so now they might be angry. So that could lead to some unruly spirits if there are undocumented deaths and no one knows how they died or where they're buried.
Or if they're buried.
Or if they're buried, yeah. And our last bit before we get into some of the stories surrounding Rolling Hills Asylum, we're going to talk about the current owner and how she came to...
Oh boy.
...obtain the property, and then we'll talk about her a little bit at the end. So, the owner of Rolling Hills Asylum, her name is Sharon Coyle. And in June of 2008, she actually visited the asylum as part of a ghost hunting group for an event hosted by the Darkness Radio. She stayed for a few days to conduct the investigation, and then less than a year later after her visit, in the spring of 2009... word got to her that the asylum would be closed forever. And she was pretty upset by that. However, she didn't have enough money to just outright buy the property. Well, lucky for her, the building went up for auction, and she was the only one to show up. And somehow she did not get it.
How? What?
How does that?
The bank
how
just auctions set work? The starting price for too high?
Perhaps. There were no details about how she did not get it being the only one. But more time passed. She got a phone call, and because no one else wanted the property, they worked out a deal. And on October 25th, 2009, Sharon Coyle became the private owner of Rolling Hills Asylum. And she currently owns it today. So 14 years, going on 15. I guess not quite 14 years. 14 years this October.
So is it active now as anything, or is it just she owns it?
Oh, we'll get into some of that at the end.
All right.
But that's it for the history. Now let's get into some of the stories, or the popular apparitions and things that people experience when they go to Rolling Hills. So the first one is going to be about Roy Krause. So Roy was a person that lived at the asylum. I'm just going to call it the asylum from now on rather than just poorhouse or something.
Yeah.
So Roy was an inmate at the asylum, and he suffered from gigantism. One source called it giantism, not gigantism.
Interesting.
So I thought that was funny. So Roy was the son of a banker in New York, and because back then being different was bad. He was seen as an embarrassment to his family, so he was sent to the asylum. He was brought there when he was 12 and died at the age of 62 on the property, but some accounts say he died at 52.
That's pretty unclear. Impressive for a giant, though.
Yeah. And unlike the giants that the three of us know of, he was kind, gentle, and loved opera music.
That's very different than the giants we know. Yeah. That's good to hear.
So visitors to the asylum alleged to see large shadows throughout the building, because I believe Roy was well over, I think he was 7.5 feet tall when he died.
Wow.
So he was very tall. And here's an account from Sharon herself. She ran into a rat in the infirmary 2 months after moving into Rolling Hills Asylum. Being terrified by the rat, she screamed and ran away. And the very next day, on the stairs, she found the rat dead, blood oozing from its mouth as if its neck had been broken. And on the wall above the rat, she reports that there was a giant bloody handprint. And Sharon believes that the ghost of Roy saw how distressed she was from seeing the rat and killed it for her.
Truly a gentle giant.
Yep.
My God, what the hell?
And Sharon says that her favorite spirit at the asylum is Roy.
She was comforted by that?
Apparently.
Okay.
That's interesting also that his ghost is just as big as he is.
What do you mean? What else would it be?
Well, I don't know. We don't know how the other planes work, Frank.
No, I'm literally curious. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, what?
The giant handprint? It was his, like, actual size when he died. It wasn't like, oh, you know.
This is his ghost.
Yeah. Well, how do you know that's how it works?
What else would it be? Like, a little baby handprint when you're, like, a big man who dies? Like, what do you? Sorry, let me rephrase that. What would you expect? A man with giantism? His ghost would be normal sized?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's interesting because I didn't think about that. Like,
that's a good point. It's true. Were there other, Nick, do you know if there were any other giants?
Not that.
Or those suffering from gigantism?
Not that I know of. And I didn't want to go into the weeds trying to find like a patient list of this place going back hundreds of years because I probably couldn't.
I'm sure that'd be impossible, yeah.
I'd have to ask her, probably, and I don't want to.
Why not?
We'll get into it later.
Okay.
We'll move on to our next active spirit. Nurse Emmy, who is known as Emmy Altworth, or Emma Altworth by another account, who was a German nurse at the asylum, but known for her cruelty to the inmates. Allegedly, she performed satanic rituals and black magic on the residents. And visitors to the asylum report hearing a cackle coming from the infirmary and dragging sounds coming from her room, as well as a closet door opening by itself.
Aaron, it sounds like Nurse Betsy, right?
Not really. I mean, a little bit in the sense that, you know, may not have been the best nurse, which I guess for the time probably wasn't too uncommon. But I don't think Nurse Betsy was doing that dark of stuff. I think it was more so like medical experimentation, probably.
Not black magic?
No, probably just like regular torture.
Just huge.
Yeah, you know.
White magic?
Yeah.
So that's Nurse Emmy, also German nurse, you know, shout out.
Nice.
Shout out to who?
Nurse Emmy. I said she was a German nurse. Shout out to Nurse Emmy.
You're shouting her out?
Yeah, just because she's German, not anything else.
Okay.
Not because she performs satanic rituals and like, black magic?
No.
I thought you were going to like shout out your sister. She,
what? Well, oh, she's... I guess technically she is a German nurse. Oh, and they're close. Her name's pretty close. Oh, God.
Whoa, oh, wait no. A minute.
All right, we got to end. I got to go. We now go into more, not a person necessarily, but a room where activity happens that's related to a person called Hades Room. Not as in the Greek god, but H-A-T-T-I-E. I'm going, that's Hades, not Hattie. So, Hades Room is on the first floor of the East Wing, and people have alleged to have voice recordings of an elderly woman yelling, "Hello." And it's believed that to be a former patient named Hades, who was blind, and to get the attention of nurses and staff members, she would just yell hello all day and all night.
That's pretty creepy, I will say. I, like, when you're saying, like, oh, that sounds silly, but that's actually kind of creepy. Do you happen to have any recordings of the little hellos?
No.
No?
When I was looking, I didn't see any specifically from that place.
Yeah, it'd probably also be pretty innocuous.
But also, hello, but you can only go through so many EVPs if you're me.
Very fair.
But
creepy though.
That's the evidence, or not? I guess that is the evidence and the activity that's reported there. And now, a place where there's not really any activity that I could see was reported, but I just want to talk about it because it's kind of, I mean, it's just awful. The psych ward and the solitary confinement areas. So the inmates used to be shackled to the walls down there. And
oh my God.
Likely this happened to patients or inmates, residents, whatever you want to call them, who at the time had unknown mental illnesses. So it's just a classic case of, we don't know what's wrong with you, we're going to shackle you to the wall.
Classic case. You hate to see it.
Times are changing. No more shackling to the walls.
Yeah, now we, what's it called when you get your arm, like your wrists and your, what is that called? Like the
medical it's thing. Putting in stocks, I think. I might be wrong.
Is that the stocks? A knee old stock? Yeah, I think maybe.
Nick's remembering the gravity falls.
Yeah. It is the stocks. Yeah.
Okay.
It's called stocks. Oh, wait, those are feet restraining devices. What are the ones with?
It's
the pillory.
Oh,
the pillory is head and hands.
Okay, yeah.
Public
humiliation. We need to bring that back.
That would be very interesting. Like public shaming, like throwing fruit, throwing like vegetables at people.
For something that's out of people's control.
Well, tomatoes are fruit, so if you were to do tomatoes, you'd be throwing fruit.
Now that's wisdom. You know, it's intelligence is knowing that it's fruit. Wisdom is knowing
not putting
to
it
throw
in fruit
it.
Salad. Let's move on to the morgue. So now this is just where dead bodies were. So you could easily have some activity here. And there is. So the morgue, though, did not was not built or opened when Rolling Hills was built. It actually opened in 1938, but eventually was converted into that bakery I mentioned earlier in 1992.
What?
They Why?
Turned the morgue into a bakery?
That's such bad taste.
It probably was bad taste, literally.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to. I don't know if I'd want to have bread from the morgue bakery.
I would assume they would use like different ovens.
It's a morgue, not a crematorium.
Well, you never know.
Ew, that's disgusting.
I guess
you could probably have like a morgue crematorium combo.
I'm sure that
crematorium. They can make cream like pastries and cream puffs. No, strut too far.
I thought you were going with like cream morgatorium. I thought that's what you were trying to say.
No.
No. I think mine's better.
You decide. Vote on the Spotify poll below the episode right now.
Yeah. We'll see what our super fan David Hoy has to say.
Yeah, whatever he says goes.
Whatever, yeah, exactly.
So there are there's alleged activity of items being moved, disembodied voices, and reports of people being shoved down onto the tile floor. So physical, like, activity rather than just, you know, hearing or seeing, like actually being pushed. And
yikes.
People who lie on the table down there report feeling their chest being compressed. It's not, sadly, it's not an old hag, probably, because they're not.
Oh, you never know.
Not asleep, but. And then my favorite piece of activity that is from here. Apparently, there is a spirit down in the morgue that speaks only in Italian.
Hey.
Hey, what are you doing in my bakery?
Hey.
It's just the old
baker. I'm baking dead bodies.
Do you think it's from the morgue or from the bakery?
I don't know. All I know is that there is a spirit down there, and he speaks in Italian only.
How stereotypical to assume it's the bakery,
Aaron. Oh, because he's making pasta.
He's making pasta in the bake. What?
Huh? What? You use flour and eggs?
Nah, he's definitely a... What do you call someone that works in a morgue?
Mortician?
Yeah, that... Yeah.
That's what did you think it was?
I don't know. Morgue? I forgot it was a...
Whoa! You can't say that!
I just spilled my water because I was so dumb.
Aaron, you can't say that. No, Mordor.
Yes, he's a Mordor. the one spirit to speak Italian.
Exactly. But that's so interesting. I mean, I'm sure something with this much history, every single room in that place has been used for different things, I'm sure, over time. Yeah. So it's like, there must be so much overlapping stuff.
Oh, definitely.
A morgue to bakery, that one's pretty in your face for crazy how crazy the changes are, but
now we have our last well-known area. There are some other places, like these aren't all the locations at Rolling Hills. There are a lot of other places that exist in the building, but the last well-known one is called the quote shadow hallway, and it's the men's dorm corridor on the second floor of the east wing. Now, I know that's confusing, and I did try to look up blueprints, but I couldn't find any.
Second floor, the men, say it again?
So, second floor, east wing.
I'm picturing it in my head right now, I'm inside, yep.
Men's dorm corridor.
Got it.
And Sharon actually reports that the reason why it's called Shadow Hallway is there are a lot of shadow people seen down the hallway when you look down towards the infirmary section. And she says they can look like people, be different shades of gray all the way to being pitch black. And some apparently crawl on the floor.
You hate to hear that.
So imagine you're going down to put a camera in the hallway during an investigation and you just see something dark crawling at you.
No, I'd rather not.
Yeah, not great.
You know, it seems like a lot of stuff happens around the area of the infirmary. Which seems to be a pretty common thing in stories, right? A place where lots of struggle and pain.
Grief.
Was expressed. Grief, yeah.
And one last thing in the shadow hallway. There's apparently a wheelchair up there. And specifically when a man sits in it, it moves as if someone is pushing it down the corridor.
That's such a specific thing.
I know. That's like why I said allegedly.
There must be, like, well, I'm wondering if it is true, there must be, like, some spirit that, like, helped out, like, their grandfather or something.
Yeah, big if true.
Or it's Nurse Emmy bringing them for her satanic rituals.
Oh, my God. No, it's the Italian baker bringing him to the morgue.
For his satanic rituals.
Sorry, the Italian
bread making.
The Italian morguer. that's scary. You know, I'm sitting here in my apartment, and right in the peripheral of my vision is a skeleton sitting on a bookshelf staring at me. Our good friend Ryan, the skeleton.
What would you do if he turned and just said, yeah, that's me, I'm the baker?
I'd shake his hand and say,
Okay.
Dude, I don't know. I would freak the hell out. Are you kidding me? It's actually so creepy. I'll put a picture somewhere, maybe on like on the page, whatever.
We're gonna have all these actual real like pieces of evidence from Nick, and then Frank's just gonna have this plastic skeleton from probably Target.
It was Walmart, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Plastic skeleton from Walmart that he's like, ooh, this is giving me the creeps.
Dude, it is. Look, I'll send it to you right now. I'm gonna cut this. Check it on Snapchat when you get a chance. It's creepy. It's just sitting there. It's sitting there overlooking and at any point. I mean, you're talking about stuff that looks like people crawling around on the floor. You know, it looks like people.
Your skeleton is crawling around on the floor?
Dude, I hope not.
Bro, he's like sitting with the plant next to him. How's that scary?
Okay. The picture I sent, it does look very peaceful because it's the it's a little overexposed. It's a little darker in here. Trust me. It's creepy.
Source trust.
Trust me.
So that's it for kind of the well-known stories. I believe there's also activity of a little boy named Jack, but none of the websites that I looked at really talked about him, but some of the evidence talks about him. And I feel like I remember the BuzzFeed Unsolved guys went here, and I feel like I remember them doing something to try and like communicate with Jack.
Link to that video. So when you say the evidence, you didn't find sources, but you found evidence. What do you mean? Was it just that video that referenced it, or there?
No,
any other?
there were pictures that on the website that we are going to go into now that some reference Jack in the caption. And
okay.
Yeah. But I didn't, but like I said, I didn't see on any websites that, oh yeah, and then, like, Roy is well known, right?
Yeah,
like,
you couldn't find the story
I couldn't find the story of Jack. All I know is that he's a little boy.
That's very pleasant. How sweet.
But, how sweet, a young boy dead, Frank. Come on.
Now, we'll get into the evidence. So if you two will open the Notion, and for those of you at home, all of these photos will be put in the show notes.
Yes. We'll go through them in probably the same order.
Yes. And great. Just scroll down to where it says photos by RHA. So that's Rolling Hills Asylum. And that's, if it doesn't have a caption, that just means there was no caption.
It speaks for itself, if you will.
Oh,
this
sure
this
does.
First one does. I mean,
yeah, the first one really does. It looks like one of the ghosts from Phasmophobia, just like an outline.
I redact my previous statement. There are descriptions of some of the photos, but at least of the one that has the red square. The first one, but there's a bunch of paragraphs that Sharon wrote, and I didn't feel like reading them.
Very fair.
I'm just guessing it. Shadow person in the hallway is.
It's what it looks
all
like.
That is.
Doesn't this more look like that 1950s monster like that's in the music video for Ocean Man?
Oh, the creature of the Black Lagoon.
Creature. That sounds right. Let's see.
It is right.
Yes, it looks like, doesn't it look like the creature of the Black Lagoon?
Kind of. I was going to say, I mean, it kind of more looks like, it's almost like a wolf man, because the forearms get kind of bigger, and the legs
look
kind
that's so
bent.
Weird, you're right. Like the drooping part of the arms.
Yeah. But creepy. Yeah, not a lot with that one, but if we go down to the second picture, which I couldn't change the size of these, they're just very big. Because I just copied them and put them on. But this, allegedly, there are full-bodied shadow people and their heads are popping out of the wall.
Well, I'm getting creeped out. Wait, where are you looking? Where do you see that? Because I see what I think is a body. Only one.
The giant second picture?
Yeah, but like what part of this? Like you see there's like stairs on the right side?
I wish the caption was more descriptive.
Aaron, what do you see?
I don't know. It almost looks like a person. like their head is on like the right side where the like dark square is. Like it looks like a side profile. But then it also looks like a another person standing in front of them in like a big dress almost.
Yeah, what the heck is what's going on here? Like, it was just really weird. And like the fuzziness of the colors, like you could tell, obviously it was taken in very low light, so it's
low light.
Like the light sensors are really
Talk about fuzziness. Wait till we get to the third picture.
Okay. Creepy. Ugh.
So this third picture is in the smoking room. So like I said, there are a lot of rooms that just there's not like well-known activity there, but people go there during their investigations. And apparently a hand is manifested in this picture. And I wrote as part of the caption that this looks like what static on the radio sounds like.
This looks like an art piece.
I don't see where a hand manifested, but that's what it says.
I see objects, but like I can't tell what is the room and what is a hand manifested.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's the shape of the mill that like...
Like if I was there kind to see of. It, like the room itself, I could probably be like, okay, yeah, I see where they're talking about. But without that, it's kind of just there.
Yeah, how do you even get a picture like this? That's the curious thing. How do you get pictures like this?
Oh, you know what this is? This is one of those tests to see if you're colorblind.
Yeah, there's a 13 in there.
There's a disembodied hand in there. And if you can't see it, you're colorblind.
That's so weird. I mean, no, really, though, like what apparatus was used to take a picture that looks like this?
Well, it does look like it's in that classic night vision ghost hunting color. And I should mention, I'll mention it right now. Both Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters, like those two shows, did episodes at Rolling Hills Asylum.
Really?
Doing their own investigations. Yeah. And I think one of the groups went twice, but I don't remember. And like I said, the BuzzFeed Unsolved guys, when they were doing that, they went here as well.
When is someone going to pay us to go investigate places?
Well, we will talk about paying to go here later.
That's fair.
And paying to go to other places.
Yeah, we have other places to go to. Moving on to picture number 4, and this is the last one from the Rolling Hills Asylum staff. It is, of course, my boy Jack in the solarium.
No.
Where is your boy Jack? Yep. This looks like a picture frame.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a... Is it just me, or does anyone else see like a samurai? An extremely blurry samurai sitting down?
The official caption is Jack peeking out from second floor solarium shadow hallway.
What?
Where's his head?
I'm guessing. Oh,
hang on.
You see bottom left corner? It's like two white dots almost look like eyes.
Yeah, one's like greenish.
Kind of.
No, that's not at all. That's crazy.
It looks like a skeleton kid. If I were to say it looked like anything.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like a kid.
It looks like a dragon.
It looks like a flame skull.
True. Yeah.
From D&D. It's just a flying skull. Minus the fire.
I see a totally different shape. It looks like a samurai sitting down. You guys don't see the samurai? I swear. It's so clear. Oh, shoot, my microphone. I'm going to draw the shape of it and send it to you guys afterwards so you can see.
Yeah, I'm not seeing
How do you get a picture? How do you get a picture like this?
I don't know.
Are you taking a picture while you're shaking the camera as fast as humanly possible?
Well, Nick, when are these pictures from?
So the pictures that we'll go into next from the actual personal like investigators, not Rolling Hills Asylum members themselves. It is listed when they took them and when they were submitted. But the other ones don't give me any dates.
Interesting.
I guess the very first one might have been in 2012 based on that like chunk of paragraphs that Sharon wrote, but the other ones don't have
Really bad cameras then, because I was thinking, oh, I'll give him a benefit of the doubt. It's like early 2000s, late 90s when it's, you know.
But. Well, the pictures from the like personal investigators look a lot better. So the first one, as you can see, submitted in 2010, but taken in 2007. My favorite, a bunch of orbs.
Okay,
but
look,
there's
at that.
Not really any lights
it's so
in there
pretty.
That would cause those. Like, I buy it.
He did post the...
Is that sarcastic?
Apparently, this is also after dusk. And he posted what it looked... He posted a picture, like, before. And then another... Like, he posted the same picture twice. And I'll send the other one in Discord. That's the other picture related to...
Okay, so it's not the same exact picture, just with some glares added, at least.
It's close.
Well, okay, because he's in the same position, but it's not identical.
Also, we've played enough Phasmophobia. There's like 20 orbs there.
Okay.
Of all varying sizes.
Okay, how many ghosts do you think are there?
Not 20 in a hallway.
Why not?
You think one orb is one ghost? What even are orbs? What even is this? This looks I don't know. This looks like someone added circles on top of a picture.
That's what I'm thinking.
This is crazy. Also, as an aside, what even would orbs in a picture be? Like, what do you guys actually think that would even be?
I don't know.
It would,
because that's something that people hang up on a lot. What even is that?
My guess is it's like what can be captured of the ghost's like image.
But then why are there full body pictures?
So my guess, and obviously not an expert ghost person.
Not yet, at least, yeah.
But, you know, how we have said time and time again, you know, these supernatural things have different abilities and, like, you know, different levels of interaction with the physical realm.
Yes.
Perhaps, you know, the full body images are more physical, like more in touch with the physical realm, versus these are probably more on the, what's the word?
Spiritual?
Metaphysical.
Yeah, metaphysical realm.
So you're saying if spirits don't have enough energy to fully get across and manifest as a full body apparition, they might just come across as little twinkles?
Yeah, because there's still, allegedly or supposedly, there's still, you know, emitting like electric energy, like electromagnetic energy. That's how the EMF works.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I guess it's the same kind of thing, but as an image.
I think what he's trying to say is, if there's an ace in the hand, then it's an orb.
Yeah.
Oh.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here and say that this is a real image.
Well, no, it's really interesting. I mean, because usually, do you see orbs with these colors, too? I thought it's usually like kind of white.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, they're kind of like orange.
Are we talking about like... Yeah.
I've seen
when I sneeze, I see dots sometimes.
Oh, that's not good. You should get that checked out.
Like in your in your vision?
Yeah, because it's such a robust sneeze.
Yeah.
No, wait, are you saying you lose... Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Nick, I can see perfectly fine.
Okay. Okay.
Just have an astigmatism and like see this all the time from lights.
Yeah, wait, you guys just don't see like... gold orbs everywhere all the time?
No. Well, the next picture is apparently a guy in a striped shirt.
All right, let's take a look.
And this actually gives us an arrow to look at.
Thank goodness. Without these arrows, we really wouldn't be able to tell where to look.
So
I actually would not be able to tell where to look in this one.
That's why I said, you see it? The guy in the striped shirt?
Could be the boy in the striped pajamas.
Yeah, it's the boy in the striped pajamas at Rolling Hills Asylum in July 2012.
At 2:35 a.m.
Oh, yeah. But if you go to rollinghillsasylum.com, they have an evidence tab, and you can see even more pictures. You can see a ton of other pictures if you're interested.
Wait, these are from other people who have gone, but by the owner?
I don't know who runs the website.
It's not immediately clear that it's the owner. What was her name?
Sharon Coyle. Like she might have people run the website for her, but
yeah, but it's the official website.
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought that these were from separate places, but
no, these are from people doing their own personal investigations, but
and then like posted, submitting them to
yeah the site and posted on their website. So you can, that's where the EVPs come from as well. That we'll get into after our last picture.
Interesting. So I mean, I do see a figure in this picture.
The second one or the last one?
The second to last one, the one with the arrow.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what to make of that because it looks silly, but also not like just added on to the picture. I don't know. This is so confusing to me. Like, I literally just, like, I don't understand what I'm looking at.
This figure, are you talking, like, much to the left of the arrow? Like, they kind of pointed to the bookshelf, and it's, like, halfway across the bookshelf?
Yeah.
That's what I...
Yeah. I mean, I can kind of see it, but if I looked at this picture, I'd say, oh, it's the glare off of, like, the bookshelf. But...
Now that you said that, now it's, like, shifting. How interesting is that, right? Where, like...
That's why it's very important that you guys don't read what the EVPs are alleged to say when we get into that. Because they don't want you to be led.
How interesting is that you can kind of like look at the same thing and see so many different things. But also like your brain will just keep working at it and shift what you see. Like now that Aaron said that thing about the glare, I no longer see a figure.
Whoa. The mind is a tricky thing, Frank.
Yeah, like I'm looking at the same exact thing. And I bet if I like really tried to look at, if I tried to envision the figure again in the picture, I'd see it again. How weird is that?
Huh. Well, look at the last one now.
Last one is probably the clearest.
This was submitted also in 2012. And it's, again, it's Jack holding a ball. And she says he's to the right of the soccer ball.
I can see it.
I do see kind of like a silhouette. This one I do kind of see something.
Do you see a face, like a smiling face, or is that?
I don't see a smiling face. I just see.
I think that's the graininess of the image. Yeah, because that would be pretty demented.
It is pretty demented if it is.
Like I can see it, but I think it's probably just the graininess.
Yeah, imagine this is like a GIF, and Nick's just like setting us up, and like we have these GIFs open up on our screens. It's gonna like animate and like.
It's like that video of the car going down the hill and then it's the jump
exactly.
Scare.
That terrified me as a kid. My grandpa sent that to me.
With your grandpa Jack?
Yes, Papa Jack. And oh my God. Freaked us out. No, like actually just saying that. Anyway.
I didn't know he knew how to use the internet.
Oh, he would email me jump scare videos all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. He was preparing you for this moment.
Fat Jack, more like evil Jack.
He had a great sense of humor. He always sent me train emails. But yeah, no, see, he would send me stuff like this and be like, do you see the boy holding the soccer ball in the picture? And I'd be too scared to open it.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, yeah, how weird. This is 2012.
Yeah, this was 2012. There's not really, not a lot were kind of like new.
Maybe because
interesting.
Images are getting too clear And you can't see what you want in images anymore.
No, because ghosts know that images are too clear now, so they don't show up. Okay, that's... I mean that only semi-ironically.
I mean, yeah, you guys have talked about the trickster spirits a lot, so...
Okay, well, think of it this way. If you're a ghost, it's... Well, think about it. If there's something that's smarter than us, right? It knows all the tricks. So it's going to go with... It's only going to ever reveal itself to an extent where half of people who look at the quote-unquote evidence see nothing at all, and the other half see something, right? Like, you can't argue that you'll one day get perfect evidence of, like, a ghost, right? Because I don't think that that level of intelligence would ever reveal itself that much, right? But you can then say, oh, that's just an excuse for people who, you know, like, that's just an excuse to say that you'll never need it. You'll never get real evidence. So it doesn't matter. You have to believe because you'll never get full evidence. But you know what I mean? It's like, if there's an intelligence that's smarter than us, it would know that and it would play with that. And it would play that game. And so if smartphones are amazing now, that means that ghosts would never allow themselves to be photographed by smartphones.
Frank, I'm hearing you.
Not that they don't exist.
I'm hearing you. However, I feel like ghosts, are, unlike other cryptids or supernatural beings, aren't necessarily smarter than us.
Because that's fair.
Supposedly, that's fair. Ghosts are just people who have passed on. And I would find it hard to believe that ghosts are smarter than the average... Well, let me take that back. Smarter than us three educated folks.
Yes, extremely educated and mature and intelligent. But I would argue, I would counter and say that maybe it's not the entities themselves, but maybe it's just the rules. Like in Fairly Odd Parents, it's the rules or whatever it is, the rule book or something, where the powers that be or the power that be, the power that is, makes it so.
So like
those sorts of things can't happen.
Not to make it religious, but if God is like, you know,
sure, yeah,
keeping all these spirits in limbo for whatever reason.
Yeah, why, like, maybe all right, just the laws of the
you're
universe.
You're allowed to roam free and do what you want. Just don't make yourself known.
Exactly. And like they're not aware of those rules and limits placed on them, but it does affect and limit it makes the pictures blurry.
This whole discussion just went to, why are the pictures blurry sometimes?
Yeah, Nick, what's your take on that?
I just don't think, if you believe in ghosts and you believe in supernatural, by definition, you can't use science to prove it because it's beyond our understanding of nature.
Yeah, so we're trying to understand it.
We can't. Gosh.
Well, we're trying.
I think it's just... Your experiences are your experiences, and it's up to you to interpret it. I don't think there's going to be a scientific explanation ever for supernatural things. Again, there's a distinction between supernatural and paranormal, right? The indication of something being supernatural means it's beyond nature. And if our laws revolve around, you know, what nature is, we're never going to be able to understand it because it's beyond. But if something's paranormal, that's just something that hasn't been explained by science yet.
Well,
like ball lightning, right, is a good example of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just think if you have something that you deem supernatural, you just interpret the experience how you want to interpret it, because no one can tell you you're wrong.
Except for EVPs. Speaking
except
of
for EVPs.
Interpreting things.
Oh boy. All right. So, again, all these photos we'll link in the show notes. Maybe not the one that's copyrighted. We'll see.
But we'll talk to our legal team.
Yeah, we'll talk to our legal team. But yeah. The EVPs will be.
Yes.
Because I specifically chose these. I didn't have any copyright associated with them either. All right. If you two will please go to the Discord, and I want you to obviously, listen to the file that's labeled one. When you get to the EVPs and we start talking about them, listeners at home, listen to all of them individually by yourself before you listen to the rest of the episode. That way, what I say, it supposedly says, won't influence what you hear.
Who's here with us?
Can you tell us your name?
Bro, what the hell
was
that?
Was there supposed to be a word in there? Yeah,
so
I sounded like a ghost cough.
This comes from the Shadow Hunters of Ohio, and apparently the entity is saying Emma.
Oh, ain't my no way. God. Stop it. Stop.
There's no way.
That's crazy, though. Emma, you said Emma. That's supposed to be saying Emma.
Yep.
All
right. Let's go on to number two.
Are there spirits here with us right now?
Okay, this one was a little clearer. I heard what? Four.
Four?
You heard four? You heard something?
Yeah.
Wow.
So this one apparently says either, this is also from Shadow Hunters of Ohio, it says either get out, help, or Linda.
Okay.
No. And again, these are just what is quoted in, like, on the EVPs on the evidence tab for RollingHillsAsylum.com.
Yeah, no, it sounded vaguely like four. Like, I definitely heard a much clearer noise, but I don't know if it was saying... It definitely was not saying what they're claiming.
Okay. Now, let's listen to number three, which I will... This was the clearest one, so...
Oh, spooky.
I'll just leave it at that.
Is it scary?
No. Okay.
Absolutely terrible. Huh?
Shorter one.
Well,
I can't tell what it's saying.
I hear the voice of a lady, but I assume that's obviously not, that can't
really?
Be an EVP.
That right? I don't. I think it just caught someone else's voice because it is so clear that.
Yeah, no, there's no way, right? That would be the clearest.
This is from Phil Hicks and Justin Keller in Emma's room, so you guys can't make out what it says. If any guesses.
I'm going to listen to it again, and I'll play it a few times in the. So obviously, I hear a lady say something absolutely terrible.
Yeah. So the absolutely terrible.
So that can't be. That's someone
clear.
Investigating.
Allegedly, in this big allegedly in Emma's room or Emmy. Nurse Emmy, it says, the nurse is absolutely terrible.
No, no, no. That is a person. That is... Oh, that's, no.
I thought it was just a person, too. I was like, that is way too clear.
There's no way you go from... to absolutely terrible.
Yeah, no.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like it's trying to be words, but it just is not clear enough.
But Aaron, you hear the lady's voice.
Well, yeah, but I figured that was
and that's obviously not the EVP. It has to be.
Yeah, like that's way too clear to be.
I don't understand these, Nick. I don't understand people. And so, I know you're in the same boat. I just don't.
Those three that we've listened to were submitted by like personal investigators. The next three are from the Rolling Hills Asylum staff. So, if you will, please play EVP number four. Another pretty short one. Another 3 seconds, I believe.
I feel like I heard the word loser.
Okay.
Aaron? I also can hear that, Frank.
Loser. Interesting. This is five words.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
That says, keep talking, someone will chat.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it says that.
That's what that one
They're
says.
They're really jumping to conclusions on these. Like, it sounds like words, but those aren't the words. I can't quite make out what they are.
Maybe they have, like, special earbuds that they use.
Well, I think, too, like, I downloaded an EVP app on my phone for funsies. Okay. And it tries to come up with words that it hears, I think.
Oh, okay.
So it may just be, like, auto-generated, like, okay, this is what it guesses or whatever. So, and they probably sift through that data to say, okay, what seems like the coolest thing to say, you know?
Perhaps. But
That actually, I feel like that's giving them too much credit. But that would make sense, right? Because otherwise, I feel like you actually have to be a little bit sick in the head to hear and go.
Keep talking.
Keep talking. Someone will chat. Like, no, yeah. Like I actually like.
Guys, Frank just dropped out of the Discord call.
Oh my god!
I think
there was a rumble. Allowed
the EVPs. Do not listen.
Yeah, what just happened?
This is like Unfriended.
Oh my god! You're right. You're gonna see like this. You're gonna see Ryan Skeleton come into view in my webcam, and just like punch, like knock me out.
Imagine. I'd and applaud. Then whisper, "Keep talking. Someone will chat."
He puts the earbuds in, and he continues the episode. That'd be wild. But
well, let's move on to EVP number five.
Okay.
A little bit longer. Take a couple listens if you need to.
Is this music or is it cutting between like radio stations or something like that are playing music?
This was about 6 seconds, it should have been. It
almost sounds like police thing.
Yeah,
like
towards the end, right?
No, towards the beginning. Like towards the first 2 seconds are where I hear what sounds like intelligible speech.
And the last,
and then it switches to radio stations.
Do you guys want to know what it says?
I would love to.
I guess so. Oh boy.
Can you embarrass him? Happy birthday.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
What? You know, is it more believable when they give gibberish? Or is it less believable if they give gibberish, right? Like, they're not even, that's not even a coherent statement. Why would the ghost be saying that?
I know, that's why it took a lot to say that, I'm sorry. But if you couldn't hear, it said, can you embarrass him? Happy birthday, happy birthday.
No. It sort of hear the cadences of, can you, and then it drops off from there. Like, it's not clear enough where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what it is. But I can, like, vaguely hear, like, and, like the correct cadences, but not anything intelligible.
Nick's just cracking up.
In anticipation. Please listen to EVP number 6.
Oh, God. Did you, like, put these in order on purpose for any reason, or no?
No. Okay. These are just the order I found them. Except for number 7.
Here we go. There's no speech whatsoever in number 6. There's nothing. There's not even semblance of human speech.
I mean, it's trying to say something. It's just coming through.
No, there's not even anything even related to human. Not even like primate. Not even animal. I'd say inorganic. There's nothing organic. It sounds
like 8-bit like Pokemon noises.
Someone ran over a Game Boy Advance. Tell us, Nick.
All right.
To be or not to be. Is that what it says?
Okay. Give me a second. This one says, what happened? Those girls were here.
What?
What? It's George Lopez's
boyfriend. What?
Wait. There's no way there is that much speech in there.
Did I just hear George Lopez? I'm sorry. Say that again.
This is so dumb. It's no, just, what happened? What happened? Those girls were here. They went to George Lopez in Florida.
What? In why? Florida?
Why would the ghosts even know about there's... George Lopez?
The ghosts from 200... There's not even any human...
You can see why it was tough to say that.
You're telling me on the website, it literally says the words George Lopez under that audio recording.
Yep.
No, I'm literally, I'm actually, I don't know what to say to that.
Oh, sorry. I need to compose myself. Oh, if that people, is so funny.
If people are going to go to such great lengths to post something that's obviously wrong, why wouldn't they at least try and make it believable, like doing like a voice modulator with like static?
Because it must be that they actually believe it. Like, remember in my Hexameisters, whatever, the EVP sucked, right? It was terrible. Mm-hmm. But the paranormal society that, you know, it's just a bunch of local people that recorded it, they claimed, oh, we sent it to one of our experts. And the expert came back and said, it's a grade A EVP. Like, they actually believe, like, they actually, I don't know, they actually believe that.
Oh my god, I forgot about this one. I didn't put it in. And there's an EVP that allegedly says, I'm naked, please don't do that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Of all the ones to suddenly be coherent.
Yeah, I feel like that one could like be believable in terms of like something someone would say. Especially if it was like an infirmary or like a insane asylum. There could be some messed up things going on.
Yeah, that's creepy. Yeah. But
well, let's get into our last one. That this is special just for you two. This won't be in the episode.
Be like Nick saying some garbled mess?
No. Just what it supposedly says is ridiculous.
Okay.
Okay, well.
I heard one water droplet way off into like the cave that they recorded in.
This is another like a investigator submitted, not from the Rolling Hills Asylum staff. Apparently, at the end of that, very quietly, it says, "Touched your."
Okay, that's what I mean, there's the water droplet sound at the end that I guess could sound like that, but...
The water droplet could sound like that? Anyway, do not put that one in the episode.
Oh, can I blur it? Can I, like, put, like, a beep?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. That'd make it funny.
That might make it more intelligible if it's censored.
Honestly.
Might sound like the EVP.
Oh, my God.
So, we will have all... We will have all seven of those EVPs for you all to listen to at home in the show notes or
and in
somewhere.
Our store. Don't be afraid to buy the CD that we made for merch.
Purely from copyrighted material put together.
Yes.
Without the consent of the people that made it.
So that's the evidence that I decided to show you guys from the website. If you wanted to go to rollinghillsasylum.com, there's, like I said, the evidence tab. There are also videos from investigators, and I think some from the staff. If obviously I wasn't going to put videos here, but if you want to look into it more. There are photos and other EVPs and videos on their website in the evidence tab.
If you're not convinced already. I mean, I'm convinced.
Yeah, I'm especially by that last one. Very convinced.
But oh, for sure. So wow. Now we're done with the history, the evidence, the stories. We need to have a little chat about the owner, Sharon Coyle.
Oh, goodness. It gets worse than the EVPs?
Oh, it gets bad. As I was looking around, on TripAdvisor, the reviews for Rolling Hills Asylum. Well, there hasn't been a 3-star review in, like, 3 years. Oh, sorry, 6 years. And there hasn't been a 4-star review in, like, 3 years, rather. It's basically all been 1-stars and 5-stars. Now,
that's always a great sign.
Let me give you the three most recent, or at least bits of the three most recent reviews. These are all in 2023, within the last 4 months.
So it's an active place.
Sharon is a scam artist. Worst experience ever. This woman is a crook. Do not give her your money. She will rip you off. The owners are disgusting. Owner's boyfriend pulled a gun on me. Oh, said he could kill me because he was military. They are absolute lunatics. That was written a little over a month ago. But the 5-star reviews, which there hasn't been one in almost a year, do talk about kind of some do defend Sharon a bit, saying, like, thank you to Sharon and her staff. Some say don't pay attention to the bad reviews. But a good chunk of the 5-star reviews are actually about just the experiences people had and nothing to do with the staff. Where basically every 1-star review is about how bad the staff is and not about the experiences there. It's not like, oh, I didn't see any ghosts. This was lame. 1-star. It's, oh, the owner's crazy and she
pulled a gun.
And her boyfriend pulled a gun on me. Don't go here.
What do you make of that? Because you would expect, wouldn't you expect the bad reviews to also say, this is all fake, there's nothing here. But you have the good reviews saying that there's a lot of good activity. And that she's like an angel, right? I know the two of us went through lots of these reviews earlier too. So there's like a lot of stuff about how great she is. But all the bad reviews are about how terrible she is. But have you seen reviews that say that there's like no activity? Like it was totally a wasted trip? Like
Here's an actual example. So the last 4 reviews of, in like the most recent 4 reviews, all in 2023, 3 of them are 1-star, 1 is 2-star. The 2-star says definitely spirits, but way too unorganized.
Interesting.
Like what I mean, it's like none of the bad reviews are about there not being people having experiences. It's the management and the owner are not good people, apparently.
That's so weird. I mean, Aaron, what do you make of that?
Well, it sounds like the place is the place to be for ghosts and odd happenings. It just seems like, I don't know, somebody who probably doesn't deserve to have this place acquired it. So,
and there are some other red flags about this place in terms of their monetizing. So, Aaron, say you, me, and Frank, we wanted to do our own, like, ghost hunt, the three mm-hmm. of us.
Like we're going to do in a couple days.
Yes.
We should mention
more on
later.
That later.
Yeah.
For a 3-hour self-guided ghost hunt, which there is other parts of, from what I saw about other people's reviews, you get like a tour of it and then you ghost hunt. But I think the whole experience is just 3 hours. It would cost each of us $40 plus tax for 3 hours for a public ghost hunt. So there could would be other people all around the building doing their ghost hunt as well. So it would cost us a combined $120 plus tax.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Because I'm not sure what the price is, if any, that we're going to be getting on Friday, which I'll talk more about later. But that seems like a complete ripoff.
And for each additional hour of the public, so 4 hour, 5 hour, up to 6 hour, it's an additional $10 per person. So if you wanted to do a 6 hour self-guided ghost hunt, it'd be $70 a person plus tax.
No way.
Now, it gets worse.
Oh, God.
Say it's like, okay, I'm really passionate about ghost hunting. I don't want other people to be there to, you know, potentially
tamper with my EVPs.
Interfere.
Yeah, not maliciously, but yeah, they're just interfering. I want to do this privately. If you wanted to do this Monday through Thursday for 4 hours, it's $500 plus tax.
What?
For 8 hours, it's $750 plus tax. And this includes a guided tour with a self-guided ghost hunt.
Per person?
Now, no, I believe it's just 500 flat.
Okay.
Now, if you wanted to do it on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you can't do it for 4 hours. There's only the 8 hour option. And it's, again, just the guided tour and the self-guided ghost hunt.
Mm-hmm.
$1,199 plus tax.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine doing that and then not hearing anything or seeing anything?
Yeah, you would turn anything into an EVP at that point. You convince yourself.
Yeah, I can understand these people.
Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And these are called the quarantined hunts, and you need at least 2 people, but can have no more than 10. And this is all on the RollingHillsAsylum.com website.
Still, if you split the cost between 10 people, that's $110 per person?
Almost 120, because it's $1,199. It's $1,200.
Oh.
Plus tax. Because it's in New York, if just normal sales tax applies, $1,199 times 1.08, it's almost $1,300.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I should also mention they do like movie nights and other things, but they're also like $20 a ticket per person.
Might as well go to Regal.
So, yeah, lots of, and I think all of our opinions, very expensive pricing for these ghost hunts and less than stellar reviews about the people running the place.
Yeah.
Not the best combination.
Basically all the bad reviews are about the management, not so much about the experiences. Again, I didn't read every single review.
Yeah, and obviously,
I read the most recent ones.
Obviously, we're taking the opinion of the people on the internet, so take things with a grain of salt, but still, that's
when the ridiculous. When the most recent reviews are all bad, and the last 5-star review was December of 2022, and before that, early November. Don't get me wrong, there are 5-star reviews, and the people say that Sharon's great and they have good experiences, but then there is another decent majority of people who are reviewing on TripAdvisor that the people running it are not good.
I think that just makes it so much more interesting. I mean, it's like another layer of mystery as to what's going on here, right? Because you have pictures that are weird, but not proof of anything. EVPs that are dumb. But then you have people who obviously fully, fully believe that they experience stuff here. But then you also have drama with the owners?
And might I remind you, like I said, the BuzzFeed Unsolved guys were there, Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. So it's like, oh, it's this well-known place. That's my personal reason about why the price might be crazy. Because it's like, oh, all these great, you know, TV shows.
Yeah, they capitalize on that. Yeah. I bet. Yeah, you think they make a pretty penny off of owning this old place?
Probably. And the fact that no one wanted it, the property back in 2009, and even though she didn't get it right at the auction for whatever reason, they didn't make a deal eventually. I'm sure she didn't spend millions of dollars to get the property.
Turning a haunted house into a haunted house, I guess, like a haunted house attraction.
I don't know if I'd ever go there. I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, we might get a gun pulled on us.
Yeah. They also, in that same review, apparently they had an old lady and her teenage granddaughter get ticketed for breaking down in front of the building.
Their car, like, broke down and the owners ticketed them or called in to ticket them?
Yeah.
That's not nice. Wow. What? That is so weird. I mean, it's obviously not cut and dry, no matter what you believe.
But, yeah, so whatever you listening at home, whatever you make of either the stories, the evidence, the owner, let us know. Leave a comment.
Yeah, leave a comment on Spotify or the website, wednesday9pm.com/episode12/12.
Oh, God.
We're getting
episode there. 13.
But yeah, that's it for me. Aaron, do you want to...
Yeah, do a little teaser trailer for next week. So for those who are listening at home that either aren't going or don't know, we've got a little group going to the Dr. Best House in Middleburg. It's an old museum that has pretty much stayed intact from the point it was probably over 100 years ago. And the lady that runs it was very kind and is going to give us a private tour and an interview with her. And, you know, obviously I think we can explore around and do a little bit of our own ghost hunting, get our own EVPs maybe. looking forward to that, and we'll have our first group investigation of a place. So
I'm sure she'll be a lot nicer than Sharon Coyle.
I can almost guarantee that.
Owner of Rolling Hills Asylum. Remember that name.
She won't let you forget, I'm sure.
Yeah, so without giving away...
She hears this, we're...
Yeah.
Go lawyer up.
Without giving away too much, tune in next week for a very exciting episode of first-hand accounts.
Personal episode. All the dozens of ghosts that tickle us in the dark and spook
us. 2 weeks from now, Aaron. 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now.
Aaron, you know, because that's the most I've heard.
That's the most you've heard?
That's the most I've heard of the Dr. Best House. I didn't know actually any of that. I literally only knew the name until I did not know it was a museum or anything. So that's exciting. I'm going in totally blind, except for questions. I'll have questions.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to chat with you guys about what we're supposed to know, because it'll be a group episode. Not really me as a host, just me as a story chooser, I guess. So
that's awesome. Well, that's super exciting. And maybe this will be good practice for us. And then one day we'll return to this asylum, Nick. All of us.
Inmates.
As inmates, you're right. Chained, shackled to the walls.
Shackled to the wall in the solitary.
Shouting about George Lopez.
Yes, forced to record EVPs for investigators for the rest of eternity.
Yep.
Wonderful. Any closing thoughts?
That's it for me.
That's all for tonight. Check out the show notes and all references used via the link in the description. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you next Wednesday at 9 p.m.
68, 65, 86, 73, 68, 32, 72, 79, 89.